Hey everyone, it's Ashley. Welcome to Just Cuts Different. Welcome back, everyone. We have Holly Clifford on today. This episode is so good. I love it. Every week the interviews that we have on here have been just so inspiring and just been more than I ever could imagine. And the series is starting to come to an end. Each episode has something that you can take away and start doing right away. You know, when you chose to be in the beauty industry, you chose this for a reason. And then, you know, life does get in the way, like anything. Don't give up, because this isn't the end. This isn't it. Keep pushing forward and keep listening to the people that have done it before and have gone through it before. Holly is someone that I think you guys all can relate to. She's been in large commission salons before, traveled throughout her career in all different ways, loves education, now is independent on her own. She has been voted the best hairstylist for 7 years in a row. I love that. And let's just dive in, because you're going to absolutely love everything that she has to say.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So a little bit about Connect Through Beauty and like how it started is I was a recruiter for 8 years. And well, I'm in the industry for 18 years, but the past 8 years I've been recruiting and going out to beauty schools and just really interacting with people that obviously are starting their career. And I just kept seeing this gap, I guess. And people were, you learn so much on your skill set side. And then there was like this piece that was missing with a lot of the, I would say like mid-level stylist and beginner, where they were like not connecting with their clients. They were kind of losing themselves. Maybe they weren't in the right salon, they weren't in the right setting, but they were just totally like burned out and not engaged in like connecting with their clients. So it was just this thing that I had. I'm like, you know what, like you're not alone. Everybody goes through this, and you just need the skills, and you just need to hear what other people do to get through that, to be able to sustain this piece in your life and continue doing what you love doing. So that's what started Connect Through Beauty. And then I just recently did like a spin-off series, which is what you're doing right now. And it's just truly reminding yourself why you do what you do. And like those days that just like hit you in a different way, where you like, you walk away and you're just like, oh my God, that was so good. And that's why I do what I do. I just want to talk about those days and like the pieces that really mold and build you to have a successful career. So that's my backstory. That's why I started this. And I'm so happy that you're here doing this with me.
I love that. I love that you want to help grow other stylists and help them throughout their journey, because there really isn't a book in cosmetology school that tells you all the things that you'll face in your career. And it is a struggle, but if you really love it and you're passionate about it, you can get through it. And it's nice to be reminded that through other people's experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's start there. What brought you to this point? What's your journey been like?
So I got my license in 2006, and that was right about when the recession happened. So it was really tough right away. And so fortunately for me, I had a waitressing job that got me by and paid my bills. And the days at the salon were really rough. You would just sit there and pray somebody would walk in the door. We didn't have social media in 2006. No. So people don't know. So some of the struggles that we had to do, where you did have to go door to door or meet ladies somewhere and hand in your business cards, walk up to strangers in stores, and really build those relationships and new connections outside of social media. So that was a challenge just as stylists before social media. And then we had the recession, which made it more difficult because people were losing their houses. Money was extremely tight.
Yeah.
But we got through that. And I started off, to be honest with you, I won't name the corporation, but at a Chop Stop in the beginning of my career. That's one of those things that we call it, you know, it's just where you feel safe and comfortable. Because when you get your license, you know, in California, state board is mostly primarily, and I feel like this is with most state boards, it's mostly about safety and sanitation.
Yeah.
Skill level, not as much.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a great way to start out. I think most people do start out that way, and you can really work out your kinks and really find yourself in that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was great because the place that I did have some education, and that really sparked it. Because once I had, this is how you do it in real life, and getting to practice and getting to, you know, more education, which I still do throughout my career now, that's what it gave me the confidence and the ability to deliver what the clients were looking for. So yeah. As I leveled up in my career, in my life, it's just always been about building off of those stepping stones and education.
That's amazing. So after that place, how long were you there for?
I would say almost a year. And then I went to a salon that I thought was so fancy and so sophisticated, and all the girls were gorgeous, but they had interesting rules. One of the things was you had to wear a 4-inch heel, and the days were long there. They were 10-hour days. And you had to wear the heels all day.
My God.
So that was an interesting experience. I definitely loved more the high-end clientele that I was receiving and the experience that I was getting from that. And again, I had mentorship and classes to take, and then I kept moving up as a stylist. But the 4-inch heels just killed me.
Oh my God.
I knew that wasn't sustainable.
Are they still operating on 4-inch heels?
As far as I know, yes. And they're a gorgeous, beautiful salon, but my feet can't take that.
No. Oh my gosh. I know. This is so funny and totally off topic, but my mom's having a birthday party, and I'm trying to like find the dress and the shoes, and we're trying on the shoes, and she goes, "Do you think you could dance in those?" And I was like, "No, I can just walk to the table and sit down." So like, no, we'll just keep looking.
It matters because it can affect your party or your day at work. And if my feet hurt and my feet are screaming, I can't focus on the hair that I'm doing. I'm like, get me off my feet.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I remember starting out that way. I wore heels all the time in the beginning, and every seasoned stylist was like, "That's not going to last very long."
Right.
And they were so right.
It's so true. I know. And thank goodness I feel like our fashion industry has become a little bit more relaxed. So seeing us in tennis shoes or flats is not looked upon badly.
No. You know? Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yes. So I worked in salons as a commission stylist, and I felt like that was a base starting point. And for me, it felt safe because I knew at least I was going to get paid either minimum wage or the commission, whichever was the greater of the two. Right. So I knew I was going to have some stable income. Then I took the scariest leap. As every leap, every progress feels scary at first, right?
Definitely.
So I remember going from commission to chair rental, and I was terrified. Oh. I was like, I'm going to have to keep track of all my numbers. And it's just, what if I fail? And the other question was, do you want to be a part-time stylist or a full-time stylist? And rent is significantly different. But I've got no children besides my fur babies. And I love doing what I do. And I was like, full-time it is. So I was taking more of a financial risk by doing full-time, but I was motivated. And I was like, this is it for me. This is where I'm going. So I worked in big salons personally. I kept going to educational classes through all of that. And then 2020 hit in California. We got shut down all the time. And then that's what pushed me into a solo suite. So I was by myself again, another scary new yes. challenge that I was like, oh no, I don't want to do this. But it worked out for the best. And you know, coming back to what you said in the beginning, it's really about our relationships. And as a client and a stylist relationship, when you're in a big salon, sometimes there's different conversations going on that are very distracting. Whereas in a one-on-one suite, it's just the two of you. And yeah. there's no distractions, and you can really yeah. have those intimate, important conversations, whether it be about a pregnancy or happy events or sad events or whatever they feel like. And I think, you know, I've heard in your podcast before, you mentioned 80% of it is about our relationship with the clients, and that's true.
Oh, yeah. It's so true. And I think that's why I focus so much on this, because it's so important to find or to get the courage to have conversations with your clients. Like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say to me when they're in school and we're just talking, having a conversation, and they're like, I'm scared to talk to people. And it just blew my mind, and my heart like goes out to them, because it's like, how are you going to be successful? You have to, and right. find a way to have the conversations that you feel like you can't, because you just didn't do it yet. That's all. Like you're saying, it's scary.
And yes.
those beginning things, anything in life is scary, but you just, unless you really push through it, it won't be, you know, it'll still be scary, you know, right. you keep going.
And I do think with each experience, with pushing through things and going to the next chapter in life, whatever it may be, once you do those things, you establish confidence within yourself to do it again. And you're like, wait a minute, I've already overcome this, that, and the other thing. What's yep. one more thing?
Absolutely.
And then you get through it and you're proud once again of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Someone once told me, and I will never forget it, that the day is always going to end. So like whether you persevered through it or you didn't, it's going to end. Right. So like end it on the way that you want to. And I think that's always stuck with me, because you might feel like this moment that you're in right now is so hard and I can't even see the end of it, but eventually it does. And like, mm-hmm. I think it's just your perspective and the way that you shift your mindset a little bit.
Absolutely. About the mindset. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, I know every step that you've taken, you said it was a little bit scary and something you had to overcome. But what are the things that you do to get yourself through those?
So I think for me, I have such a curious mind. I like to research everything before I do anything. I would ask around other stylists with more experience and all the different routes that different stylists took, and kind of take those stories and information in, kind of as mentors, but not just from one person, from tons of people, and then gather that information and decide what was going to be the best course of action. Yeah. And so that's helped me lay the groundwork for the confidence of my decision making. And then also, I think part of, you know, now we're all about the imposter syndrome. It's, you know, kind of a big phrase, catchphrase nowadays. But sure. truly, I think if you do the work and you lay out the groundwork, whether it be taking those educational classes before you start calling yourself a specialist, that's one of the things that I'm like, we can't all be specialists. You can't yes. be a specialist as soon as you get your license.
Sure. No, right. Absolutely.
You've got to have the years of experience, the extra education. Mm-hmm. So, and then with that, you won't feel like an imposter. You'll have the confidence and the tools and the resources.
Oh, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll still be scared. I think it's natural.
Being scared and being uncomfortable, that's just a part of life. Like, and it's a part of who we are as human beings. Like, if we didn't have that inside of us, we'd be crossing the road without looking.
Right.
Well, you know, right. we have to have that inside of us a little bit, but also the tools to kind of like decipher which is which, you know, and how I get through that. Right. So I love that you pointed that out, because it's true. You have to put the time in and you have to really work at building the foundation. And yeah. I talk about that too. Like, I think we're scared or I don't know, we have these, like, social media, I would say, you know, has this whole painted picture, but everyone sees the success, but no one sees the journey that it took to get there. And
right.
Like, we can't skip that part, you know, right. Like, that's the good stuff. That's kind of like what makes you who you are. And I think if we can start to continue to talk about that piece,
right,
they get to see the other side of it. Like, there's,
yeah, the real side of it, because there are struggles. We're humans. And something that you've even said before is that's been mentioned, and I went through it. I had lost 3 family members in a matter of 6 months' time. And it was just really, really difficult. And there's no book of what how to handle these kinds of situations, or unhappy clients, or a client who has a chemical reaction when her hair is lightened and they have maybe well water or henna in their hair. There's no book that tells you about these struggles that you might come across. And that's kind of one of the beautiful things about your podcast, is you're bringing these things that are real life struggles, as well as the positives, into the, you know, light, to let everybody know, hey, we've overcome this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you talk about it more often, then it just kind of becomes like, when it happens to you, you're like, oh yeah, and I can get through this.
Yes, and you can, and you do. It's day by day.
Totally.
Day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You talk a ton about education, and I love education. I mean, we cannot be successful without it. So tell me more about what you do.
So I am in California. I'm in Southern California in a town called Temecula, and I'm about 2 hours away from LA, sometimes 4 with traffic. And one of my first classes was in LA because it was with a celebrity's hairstylist. And I thought, ooh, if it's good enough for celebrities, my clients are going to love it. It's the celebrities at 901 Academy. And they have done Kate Hudson, Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift, I believe. They've done all the celebrities' hair. So I thought, if it's good enough for them, I'll go learn from the experts. And I took my first blonding course there, and I was just blown away. I was so excited too. It's so nice at these education events. You get to meet other people that are just as passionate and excited to learn more and do better. Absolutely. And it's just a nice way to stay connected and motivated. So So they were my first class, and then in person. And then I took other ones from YouTube hairstyles that I follow before Instagram, really, I feel like. Lexi Dawn, who I've met, who's so sweet. So she flew out to California, and then I started taking classes with Masters of Balayage. Yes. They had an amazing class with Alec and Ryan Whedon, the CEO, and that was great and inspiring. So they had a program, and it was a 12-week certification program, and it was to become a certified master of blonding. So I signed up for it, got it, became certified, and I was still am super proud of that. And just keeping going to classes. I go to classes multiple times in a year. And even if somebody is struggling, say financially, and they can't figure out how to budget it, my best advice is to go to those free classes at SalonCentric or CosmoProf, ask your reps. You can somehow, some way find education, even if it's on YouTube, which sounds a little cheesy, but there are professional accounts on there, not non-licensed professionals. Don't take their advice.
Yeah, there's definitely a mix, but yeah
those ones are interesting. But I do think there's no excuse not to continue your education and really just dive deeper and deeper into what you're passionate most about and find your specialties and really hone in and focus and make them the best they can be.
That's awesome. I love that. And I know that I think right now it's huge to have a specialty, I guess you want to say. Like, right. I have noticed that really, like, much more than I've ever noticed it now. And
agreed.
So do you feel that really helps a stylist, like, kind of, I don't want to say build, but really, like, hone in on who
yeah.
they are as an individual? Yeah.
It's, okay. I 100% do. And you know what? I had listened to a podcast, and one of the hairstylists, Jamie Dana, I'm probably mispronouncing her name. I've met her. She's so nice. She had said in a podcast that, you know, whatever you are enjoying doing the most behind the chair, hone in on it, focus it. That way you can really do the best that you can do in something that you really love, that you're passionate about. However, let's backtrack. In the beginning, when you get your license, I do think it's good to kind of try it all, like a buffet, little samples of everything. And then figure out what you actually really love. Because there's some things that you might do and you go, you know what? I really don't want to do those. Yeah. I don't do perms. I haven't done a perm since I got my license.
Yeah, listen, I don't know most of us out there that love doing perms, but kudos to the perm loving people. I love it.
So in the beginning, I would say keep more of an open mind to finding out really what is your passion before you dive in and say you're a specialist. And I do think in order to become a specialist, you need at least a couple of years in experience in just doing that on a regular basis, as well as education to back that up. So showing that you're taking the time behind the chair as well as on your time off just to keep going better and doing newer, more time effective, intentful placements and techniques up to date too, because the trends are always changing. So you can't stop.
No, I completely agree with you. I support that 100%. I think, you know, in the beginning, like going back to that, you really have to like put in the time and the work that it takes. And doing that means you might need to take anyone that walks in the door. You know, just think of that time in your life as practice. Think of it as an opportunity to, you know, work on a consultation, work on your verbiage, work on talking to a client about maybe that's not the right haircut for them or whatever that the case may be. But I think if you can just shift the mind in that direction, it will just kind of help you be more humble in the beginning. You can't necessarily think that it's just going to fall in your lap, because it's hard work, but it's rewarding. It's totally rewarding. And eventually you're going to be at the spot where you want to be, and you're going to look back and you're just going to be so proud of yourself because you
exactly.
Oh, I love that. So your Instagram is fabulous.
Thank you.
I love to go through it. I think it tells like a great story. I've been talking to a lot of people that actually like showcase who they are. Well, like full circle as a scientist and a human being. So I love that. And why, like, how long did it take you to kind of maneuver through that piece, like from as you were transitioning through your careers?
So I got Instagram back, I would say, like the first or second year that had already started. And my girlfriend was on it every day. And she's like, you need to get on here. You need to get on here. And she was doing all the different effects and filters and everything. And she has a huge following. And so I started messing with it, like I said, about a year or two into it, maybe a year, started an account, didn't, you know, posted here and there, didn't really know what I was doing. Yeah. And something that's truly helped me over the years is looking at pages that I admire of other successful hairstylists and what they do, and kind of emulating, picking the best of the best and going, okay, I want to do that, but also putting your own spin on it at the same time. So something that I've had to change was adding pictures and videos, including myself in. Yeah. It used to be just all hair. And that was it.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to realize people want to see you, the stylist behind the chair, who they're going to be booking with and how that's going to look like and what are they all about. So it's nice, you know, to kind of pop in. It's a little intimidating, especially with all the filters on Instagram nowadays, you know, a little Facetune here and there. But you just have to go on there and just, you know, say hello and introduce yourself, and then stylists, I think clients feel more comfortable booking with that stylist because they know the face, you know, that they're going to meet.
They kind of already feel like they got to know you a little bit more.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. So I have a question. Did you know that you always wanted to do this?
No, I knew I was always an artist. So I was always artistic, literally did arts and crafts with grandma every weekend, sold my artwork to my neighbors, like little paintings for a quarter. They're the best.
Oh my gosh.
Best little entrepreneur. So I was a little entrepreneur at a young age. But I was always an artist. And then when I was graduated high school, I thought I wanted to become a psychologist, because I really do love people. I love connecting. I love relating. So I was going just for my associate's degree for that. And my hairstylist, when she was doing my hair, had said, well, why don't you just switch your major to hair? Because you always ask me these questions about hair, because I was also interested in hair. And so fortunately, at my community college where I was getting my associates, they had a cosmetology program. So I just switched it over. And some of my cosmetology classes actually counted for towards my associate's degree, because we deal with anatomy, chemistry, things like that.
Yeah, so, that's so awesome. Yeah.
But once getting my license, I was done with college. I was hair all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went after high school. Yeah.
Oh, and did you? How old were you?
18.
So straight out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. I was 20. So okay, I was, yeah, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we start this career so young, and I think that's a chunk of it too, you know, just getting to know who you are as like a individual and then adult, and like where, how do you relate to like an older client, you know, things like that. Just all little pieces that you just don't think about, and then until you're faced with it. But So tell me a little bit about like advice that you could give someone that's in this career right now, maybe just looking for some more motivation, or, you know, maybe they're looking to change in their salon or maybe go to a solo suite. What would you tell them?
I would tell them to ask questions, ask around, send DMs if that's what it takes. Talk to your neighbors, talk to anyone and everyone. And we're a community of hairstylists and women and some men, and we have experiences, and some are positive and some are negative, like we were just speaking about. And we can kind of use that information from everybody and help each other out and help people avoid maybe going into a salon that they would definitely not be happy at, with wearing 4-inch heels or something like that. So if you can kind of, but truly having a mentor is fantastic. And again, I don't think one person should be your mentor. I think you should learn from as many people as possible who are all successful, because everybody has something to offer, and you can learn something from almost anyone who's successful. So, you know, I think that would be my biggest thing, is ask around, find, you know, people who are successful, ask them what their experience was and what their salon career path was and how it worked for them, how it didn't work for them. You know, I'm sure they'd be happy to help, because who doesn't want to help people?
Everyone in this industry is amazing. I swear. Like, we're just like this small, I feel like it's a big industry, but kind of small. Like, it's just, we're all the same type of creature, I think.
Right. And we're people.
We
need to connect. So I don't think anybody should be, you know, intimidated or anything like that. I think if you have a question, and even if it's a celebrity hairstylist, ask them. They'll respond. You'll be pleasantly surprised with what you can learn, again, from anyone.
Yeah, you're so right. So I know that you are at a great point in your career. What's next for you? This is a two-part question. What's next for you? And what do you do for yourself to make sure like you show up 100%?
So what's next for me? That's the longest one. I don't really know. I would say it could go a couple different ways. And I was just talking to my husband, because I'm always thinking ahead.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. I have goals every year, like most people do, but I also think long-term goals, not just the short-term. Yeah. So it could go to salon ownership. I've talked about that with my husband. A very small salon is what I think would work best for me. Maybe 5 chairs, something, you know, quaint. Or I just stay in a suite and do the one-on-one thing, as well as education. I really love being a part of the education and helping others and elevating themselves. So I might just stick with where I'm at, because I really am loving it. So I don't know. That's like the hardest part, is you want to know, but you don't.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's kind of the beautiful part, is you've got so many opportunities. And I think that's so cool. I love
it's endless. It's truly endless. You know, you just don't, you can go anywhere in the world doing hair. It's just amazing. In the beauty industry, you can travel the world doing it. You can be at home, your small town. You can work 2 days a week.
Sure. You know? Yeah, right. Exactly. It's all up to you. Like,
yeah,
you can start your day and make as much money as you want.
That's right. Right. And you can go to work for 2 hours or 12 hours. It's totally up to you.
And you can wear the 4-inch heels or you wear the... Yeah.
Well, they're being so confident in that day and comfortable.
Whatever works for you.
Yes. Yeah. So I would love to also, third option would be to work with a brand. And within that, hopefully educating and showing off the techniques using their products would be amazing. That would be very, very nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Second part of that question, do you do for yourself?
So that's a great question. And honestly, it is so important that we drink enough water, get enough sleep, exercise if you can. I work out often, and I know not everybody has the time, but even if it's a 20-minute workout on your Peloton or a walk with your dog or your kids, something, get yourself moving. Because truly our job is physical and we have to keep ourselves active and moving. Okay. You know, a body in motion tends to stay in motion and it's good for us. It's healthy. So that, and I would say I don't do a lot of fast food. I know it's silly, but I do eat well. When I'm at the salon, I have worked in a salon with 23 stylists and there's a lot of deliveries coming through and it's fine. We all can eat whatever we want, but I find myself fueling myself with better foods quality wise. Mm-hmm. I'm able to do a better job behind the chair because I feel more energized and less lethargic. So eating healthy, staying kind of fit.
Yeah.
You know, to interpretation, and drinking water. I think hairstyles have this reputation of just drinking coffee all day. And it's like, drink water, ladies.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Those just changing one thing is going to be huge for you. Yeah. I mean, I love that you mentioned the food thing because I do feel like we've gotten into that space where it's just, you know, you just grab whatever, but if you prepare yourself, you know, you get prepped and prepared, then there's no excuses.
You can stick to a healthier diet.
Absolutely.
And again, it's kind of like that older school because we've been doing it for about 20 years. Back in the day, again, it's just shifting. And I think it's shifting towards the positive, more sustainable, long-term, healthy, good choices.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for doing this.
It was a pleasure.
So
thank you for having me.
So good.